My name is Rick Popejoy, and I have the distinct privilege and the wonderful pleasure of serving as your host today as we have arrived at this beautiful study hall. Study hall, as we as we mention each time, study hall for the brave, study hall for the spiritual-minded Bible student. And what we mean by that is that we make no apologies for what God said or the manner in which He said it. These are, when we look into the precious Word of God, when we look into the Bible, we are talking about God's Word choice. And so it would be presumptuous of us to make any changes to that whatsoever. I'm certainly glad that you're here, and I pray that you are prepared and poised, ready to study, to meditate, that's right, to reflect upon the precious book divine. Such a wonderful opportunity that we have to be able to open up this virtual classroom to be able to study with our friends, our neighbors, our brethren all across the world. And I see that we already have some Bible students that are lining up and joining us today. Good to see Sister Woodall with us from Northern Wisconsin. And good to have you, Sister. Always good to have you. And I pray that those grandchildren are growing. And we always look favorably to those pictures that we find on Facebook. It's good to see Sister Ferris with her today. I saw that there was a baptism associated with your news feed today. Maybe you might have a little notation in there and on our feed for us, and we certainly want to pray for all of those individuals that are new Christians and are beginning this journey of faith in God. It's good to see Brother Ernest with us overseas. Brother Ernest, I want to say the Philippines, and I know that's not right. Help me out there in the chat window. I got to be on a Bible study with Brother Ernest the other day and the brethren there, and thoroughly enjoyed it. And Brother Ernest, I'm not politicking for anything, but anytime that you need another Bible student hand, you just give me a call. I really enjoyed it and really appreciated it as well. So let's see here. What else do we have in our introduction before we get started? I do want to make mention of the fact that I am in Nesbitt, Mississippi, and I'm working with the Nesbitt Church of Christ, a wonderful group of people. I'm telling you that I really do love the congregation here. I probably don't tell them as much as I should. Same with my wife. I probably don't tell her as much as I should. I love the brethren here. I appreciate so much. They tolerate me. They encourage me. They keep me steadfast, and they are a strong group of Christians, and I have thoroughly enjoyed them. And so if you ever get an opportunity to come and to join us in our Bible study or worship, we meet at 685 Nesbitt Road here in Nesbitt, Mississippi, at 9 a.m. every Sunday morning for our Bible study, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And I see I got it right. or at least close, right? I wasn't too far off, all right? But it's also good. I see that Brother Furness from Purcell, Oklahoma, old stopping grounds for Popejoy's in that particular area. So always good to Always good to have you, Brother Furness. We're going to continue to pray for the congregation there as they struggle with some COVID. We made it through our COVID exchange, and it really wasn't an exchange. Everybody seemed to get it from the outside and from different sources, but everybody was back yesterday, and it was a wonderful thing. You know, it's interesting. Miss Mona tells me I'm still having some mic issues, and I really do hate that because I changed the mic. I have about three different mics that I can utilize, and I changed the mic for today. I'll make note of that and change it. Now, I will not be here tomorrow. Tomorrow, Miss Mona and I are entertaining some family that are coming in for an early Thanksgiving. And so today and Thursday, we will not be with you as far as reflections is concerned. But we're going to certainly enjoy family during this time. Let's see. I saw somebody else come in. Sister Higgins is with us today from South Texas. Always good to have you with us, Sister. Brother McReynolds is here with us. Brother McReynolds and I first met in Ardmore, Oklahoma, and certainly have appreciated his family, and his family's all growing up. When we met, Brother McReynolds was a younger man, had a young family, and now he's an old man with an old family. So that's what time and life does for you. So good to have everyone here. I hope I didn't miss anybody. If you're listening to us and you're on the Facebook live feed and you do not mind, give us a little comment. Let us know that you're with us. And we certainly would appreciate that. We have a very tight-knit group of individuals. You know who I haven't seen in a while, and I hope that I'll contact him a little bit later today, but I hope that Brother Javon Jesse is doing well, and we'll want to contact him and see how he's doing. Well, let's see here. I want to welcome all of those listeners for the program on WJHF 106.9 in the Florence, Alabama area. I want to encourage you that you get in contact with the Jackson Heights Church of Christ, our friends, our family, and we would love to have you get in contact with them. If you're not associated with the Lord's Church, just give them a shout out, and I'm sure that they would appreciate that very much. Let them know that Reflections sent you their way. The phone number today, 405-428-2440. That once again, that is 405-428-2440, and we will certainly take any phone call, any text that you might send on the topic of the program today, and we would be glad to converse with you. Every Friday is Open Mic Friday, and we get an opportunity for what that means basically is that you get to determine the direction of the program. And we'll have a hot topic, and we'll deal with those hot topics, but generally speaking, those hot topics come out of some comment that you have made online, some comment that you have sent me by email or by text, or just something that somebody has said, you know what, this would be a good, I have a question on this particular topic. And so keep that in mind. Friday is coming up, and I do plan on being here Friday. Not going to be here on Thursday, but hopefully we'll get to see you on Friday. Well, let's see here. What else do I have on my announcement? I want to continue to remind you about the Standing in the Gap lectures, January the 27th through the 31st, here at Nesbitt, Mississippi. It's been going on for about, I think this is year number 22. And we would love to have you come and join us and participate and be a part of that wonderful program. And it is. It has been a wonderful program over the years, and we hope that we can continue to maintain that. Well, let's see here. The only other things that I have is I certainly want to encourage everyone to pray for the Obed Rodriguez family. Obed was an instructor at the Brown Trail School of Preaching, had been there a while, especially in the Spanish department. They have a very strong Spanish department there, and Obed passed away of COVID-related problems this past week, and we want to keep him, we want to keep his family in our prayers during this particular time. I think Brown Trail, I got a little note from them on my Facebook feed that they do have another instructor that is struggling with some light conditions in regards to this, but that it has played out with everyone thus far outside of maybe just that one instructor. And so we're certainly glad for that. Well, let's see here. Let's go ahead and get started. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we will have our song. So look forward to walking on heaven's road with you each day. So let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the tremendous love that you have demonstrated to us in the sending of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that you would develop a plan. The only plan that could save man from his sins was that your Son had to be brutalized upon that cruel cross and mistreated by men, mistreated by his own creation, mistreated by his own people, and go to that cross, die upon that cross. The fact that you would demonstrate that love in such a powerful way is something that we would like to say thank you for each and every day and multiple times in the day. We're so thankful for the fact that we can now be free from free from our sins and all of the consequences eternally that are associated with that. We're thankful, our Heavenly Father, that you would develop a plan for man's life, that you would help direct our paths, that you would give us thy word, which shines a light toward the path that we ought to work. And we're thankful for all of our brethren across the world. We love the brotherhood, and we pray each day for its great strength, and that we might be an enlightenment to the world. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of those who have been touched by this COVID virus. We're mindful of Obed Rodriguez's death and his family and the struggle that they will have in being able to lose the head of their family. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that you would strengthen them, that those who know them best might wrap their loving arms around them and might be a source of great strength during this time. May they always look to thee and thy word for guidance and direction. We pray, our Heavenly Father, for all of those individuals who have had the sickness and was able to come through. We're thankful for them. We're mindful of the greatest problem that man has is not with a virus and it's not with any disease. It is with sin. And we're thankful for all of those who have recently been baptized, those individuals that are new to the kingdom of God. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that all of those individuals might continue to grow in grace and knowledge, and that they might continue to put on the strength of Christianity to help them against all of the onslaughts of the devil. And we pray that we might be of any assistance, that we would offer that, and our Heavenly Father, as we come across this time in which this nation has set aside an entire day for Thanksgiving, we pray that our hearts and minds might always be thankful for the great gifts of thy love and mercy. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Down the road, carrying such a heavy load, sinner lay your burden down.
You're walking on heaven's road, and when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Ain't no people crying there.
Ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band.
Old folks ain't so tired and worn, they're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day.
Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Won't you come along
and join me on that heaven's road?
All right, my friends, good to have you with us today, and we hope. I noticed that Sister Woodall asked about cutting out. Miss Mona said that it was cutting out on her end. Brother McReynolds said everything seemed to be fine on his end. So I don't know how we're going to work this out. I'm going to try to keep switching mics and looking at some things. I might even have to bring in a professional, anybody that knows, and I've got a couple friends that know something about it, and I may give them the controls to the computer, and so that they can take care of this for us, and we'll see if we can get that, because they're, listen, I find it hard to listen when things are garbled up and cutting out, and so I want to extend my apologies for not being able to fix that. Sometimes I can use the equipment, but I cannot really get all things fixed up and ready to go. And so that is not my forte, but we're going to get somebody on it. Maybe not this week in regards to things, but we're going to get this thing fixed. So bear with us for just a little while on that. Now, hopefully it's not too bad today that you can listen in, and we can have a great study on Take Heed How Ye Build. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 10, which is where this particular phrase comes from, and I think it's an important context for us to consider for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you look at the Corinthians themselves and the difficulties they were having, and the admonition now to take heed how you build, then it becomes a very important admonition. If you look at the context and the false doctrine that some people have today on once saved, always saved, and how they misuse this particular passage, then it becomes a very important context. But the context of building, you know, I mentioned in the advertisement that the church is the greatest building project ever undertaken. And I don't mean that just from the vantage point of God preparing as an architect the plan for the church, of Jesus an executor of the will of deity in putting it into place when he said, I will build my church, and he goes through that process of building that church. I'm not just talking about that, but I'm also talking about our responsibility. You see, the building, now the church is final and complete from the perspective of deity. There's nothing that can be added to or taken away from the blueprint and from the architectural structure of the Lord's church, except you and I. That you and I, we need to be able to see ourselves on or as a structural component of the New Testament church. And I believe that's what you have here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, Peter also deals with this context as well. Brother Furness makes reference to, just started an article or a short book on this idea about the stones I was built upon. That's a very interesting book. You know, I look back, and what you're talking about there is the aspect of there are people who influenced us and helped us in our obedience to the faith and to grow in the faith. And that idea of the stones that I was built upon, we build, and by the way, we're building. We're continuing to build upon this aspect of the New Testament church. It's an ongoing building project, in other words, up until the time when the great call of the second coming shall come from the clouds. Then outside of that, this is a continual building process. And so from that vantage point, this makes our discussion today, I think, one of the most important discussions we can have, when he says, for example, 1 Corinthians 3:10, he says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And then he goes through some details of that building process. Even the materials that we utilize are important in that process. But I want you to notice just a couple of verses as we introduce this particular aspect of building and taking heed how ye build. Look with me at Acts chapter 7 and verse number 47. Now, Acts 7 would be the context of Stephen's great schema redemption sermon. And in verse number 47, he says, and this is the, he says, but Solomon built him an house. Now you might say, well, Rick, why do you bring that up? That really doesn't have a lot to do with what we're talking. Yes, it has a great deal to do. Solomon built him an house. And it says, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Now, he's not talking about Solomon's house. He's talking about Solomon's temple in this context, and the fact that Solomon went through a building project on the temple of God in Jerusalem. But here's the point. He had to go through that building project before you could have the end result. And so it's important for us to take heed how we build. If we want a good project at the end, then we have to take heed how we build. It is important. Look with me at Luke chapter 15. Now, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus is discussing, and he mentions the fact that there are three different kinds of people that cannot be his disciples. But then he gives, in the midst of that, he gives an illustration. He says in verse number 28, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first?" Now, notice the priority word there, first, "and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." And so one of the first things that we know that we must do is that we must count the cost. In Acts chapter 20, and I'm just giving you a couple of passages here to consider as we begin to talk about this. In Acts chapter 20, and you'll notice here in verse number 32, he says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." So we're talked about the fact that we, in order to get to the end, you have to go through a building project. The first thing you have to do before you get to that building project is that you have to count the cost to see whether or not you're willing to pay what it takes. Do you have what it takes to build this building? You see? And now notice that a part of this process, or he says that I commend you to God and the word of his grace. It is the word of God which is able to build us up and to give us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Now, I mentioned Peter earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2. I do want you to notice that when we talk about a building project, we're not talking about just any house. This ain't just anything that we're talking about here. He says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And so we are not just building a house, we're building a spiritual house. In fact, I dealt with this in relation, to OABS and our study of the Godhead. We'll notice in verse number 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, back to our context, he says, "Know ye not that ye," that is the whole church, that is what he's talking about there, not the individual, but the church. The church is the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And here we have that the church is the temple of God. So we're not just talking about anything. We're not just talking about any temple. This ain't the temple of Diana we're talking about. This isn't idolatrous activity. This is the temple of the living God. And so Peter makes reference to the fact that what we are building is something that is spiritual in nature. Now notice with me in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, I want to begin back up in let's back up in verse number 1. This is Colossians 2 and verse number 1. "For I would that you know what great conflict I had for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the fullness of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom, and this is one of the passages I definitely wanted to get to, but notice, in whom, we're talking about in Christ, in whom are hid, and God, and he says, in whom are hid all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Well, that's a sermon in and of itself, isn't it? But notice he goes on, and this I say, lest any man beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now notice verse number 7. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. And so again, this building project is so important that we need to make sure that we do it right, that we have the right blueprint, that we have the right motivation behind that, and that we have the steadfastness of heart to carry it out. And the right blueprint in this context, he says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There is no other place, my friends, that we need to go on building up the body of Christ, of building up the church, than Jesus Christ or God and his word. There is no other place. I do not need to study from a denominational format to see how they are growing. Far too many individuals want to study how the denominations are growing. By the way, I think that's a misnomer in regards to how they are growing. There are certain congregations, and I almost even hate to use that terminology, but you understand what I mean. There are certain religious bodies individually that are growing. And but have you ever thought, and this is what, and I've mentioned this maybe for the last 20 years in my preaching, and I don't plan on stopping this anytime soon. My friends, have you ever thought that gospel preachers know how to grow? If that's all that we're concerned about is numbers, do you suppose that I don't know how to attract numbers to this building? See, I think sometimes we lose sight of what our real purpose is. We see, we got to get people, we got to attract people, we want to fill the building, and that makes us feel good, doesn't it? Do you suppose I don't know how to get them here? I know how to do that. Gospel preachers know how to do that. They know about the entertainment aspect, and if you take care of every want and desire that anybody ever has, then you can attract people. Sure, I mean, I'm not void of understanding in regards to that area. But you know what the most difficult thing here is in regards to that? That's not authorized. You see, the difference between the denominational world and the gospel preacher today and good, solid, sound elders is the fact that we know that that will attract a lot of worldly, carnal people or semi-religious people, but guess what? It won't save anybody. And so that too is a part of the flaw of the building project. Now, I will say that that should not deter us from thinking outside the box. And I don't mean that the Bible is the box. I mean the Bible authorizes the use of expediency in carrying out the will of God. And as long as it fits within the parameters of the will of God, then the way we used to do things, some of those things may have to change. And that's fine, as long as it fits within the category of expediency. That is, I have the command that I can engage in this activity, but I choose to do it like times of services. We meet at 9 a.m. For our Bible study. Some people don't meet till 9:30 or 10 o'clock for their Bible study. Some people have worship before Bible study, and then they have Bible study afterwards. Those are expedient matters, as long as we understand the importance of Bible study and worship in a collective aspect of that. That's a part of the building project, you see. I have to keep that in mind as I'm building. You know, as an architect lays out things, and as a builder might approach the project, he takes that architectural design and he puts it and builds it according to that architectural design. Well, there may be some things that come along the way that in that architectural design that the builder might have some leeway with. And in that architectural design, he then, or the builder then, is going to make some changes in that design aspect as he's building that building. As long as he has the expediency to do so, then he is well within his rights to do that. Now, he might consult with the owner, and he might consult with the architect in order to get that done. So those are all architectural things that a builder must take in to account as he is building. Think about with me what the book of Jude says in Jude verse number 20. He says, "But beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." We ought to build up ourselves rather than just, we're not in the necessarily the tearing down business in this Bible study here. We're talking about the building up. Now, Jeremiah 1:10 says, before you build, you got to tear some things down. You see, before a builder, this is a part of that priority, right? He sees a plot of land out there. The architecture has put everything up, and now he says to himself, those trees can stay, but these other trees and all of this brush and all, you know, that's going to have to change. That hill has to be leveled. That valley has to be filled up, right? There's some in the design of the building up of the church. Sometimes you got to tear some things down. You got to weed some things out if you're going to plant a garden, right? And so sometimes it is important that when we're talking to people about the gospel and that we're studying with them, sometimes we have to get rid of all the denominational garbage that is there, right? So some of our preaching is about that denominational garbage. Let me see if I can clear that denominational garbage out of the way so that now we can have a solid platform in order to build upon. That's always been important with God. Why do you suppose the work of John the Baptist was so important? What was the purpose of John the Baptist? To prepare a people ready for the Lord. How was he going to do that? Well, he was going to lower the mountains, he was going to raise up the valleys, and he was going to level the land, right? Now, are we talking about the fact that John the Baptist was just a mover of dirt? Is that what he did? We're not talking about just dirt. We're talking about hearts. We're talking about the heart, the minds of men. And so when he came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When he came preaching and he told Herod, listen, you don't have a right to that woman. He's leveling the land, you see. And so it is important then that we make sure that this building project is done right. And that is not as easy as we oftentimes think. Brother McReynolds, Sister Woodall says, God knows what is best for us, and that's exactly right. Change is good in regards to those items. The things that we can change, we ought to change. the things we cannot, we ought. By the way, can you imagine a builder coming in? The architect has put up a structure and a plan, and it's built, and Jesus did build his church, but then somebody comes in and says, you know what? That main beam that goes across from one side to the other, you know, when you renovate a house that's been broken and tore up, and you begin a renovated project and you want to raise the ceilings, you do have to first of all find if there are any structural things that cannot be moved. Somebody says, you know what, I don't like those two walls on either side. I just want the wall that faces north and south. Take out the east and west walls. Well, that's a lot easier said than done, right? Now you're dealing with a structural element that if you take those down, the whole thing falls. Oh, I love that reference to the cornerstone. You take out the cornerstone and it all collapses, right? And by the way, Paul deals with that. We're going to get back to 1 Corinthians 3 in just a minute because Paul deals with that aspect of this. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, he uses the terminology Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Now, Brother McReynolds says, our influence, lives will make others think. Why is he or she happy no matter what? I've seen new members join because they saw the power of prayer had on their family members who doesn't attend. The specific prayers an elder said on their family members' behalf and those in the church family petitioned God's power. Absolutely, these are important things. Our influence matters in this world. I mentioned this to the church last night in my Sunday night sermon. Have you ever thought about the fact that we were talking about remembering Lot's wife and some of the great principles that we can glean out of that statement in Luke 17:32? And I said, can you imagine? Our world has been waxing worse and worse. There's no doubt about that, especially from an American perspective. And so think about the aspect of, have you ever thought about the fact that the wrath of God may not have been meted out drastically against America because of the influence of the church? Now, I'm not saying, listen, I can't read God's mind. I can read his word. I can read his mind through his word, but I can't read what he's saying, what he's thinking about America today or any other place. I'm just asking, have we ever thought about, remember Genesis 18, where God says, if there are 50 righteous people, will you say? And God said, for 50, I will save it. Have you ever thought about that general principle in regards to America? Could it be that America still survives today, that there is that the hope of America lies within the influence of children of God today that are here? But then I gave them this warning. What happens when the salt loses its savor? What's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men? The influence of the Lord's church is important. Now, like Brother Ernest makes, he says, load-bearing walls. That's what we're talking about. You can't take those out because they're bearing the load. And our influence may be a part of that that's bearing the load. And if we enclose ourselves in our houses and we enclose ourselves, and by the way, if you want to, I don't want to get into the politics of all of this. I want to get into the practical nature and the spiritual aspect of this. But I want you to think about this. If they, if our leaders can lock us in our homes, if they can determine what goes out on social networking items, right? If they can tell you whether or not your church can meet, if the influence that your church that you we can't go out, we can't the hospitality, visitation, evangelism, and they can control every bit of that. Do you suppose then, and listen, I've been through COVID. Miss Mona was in the hospital because of it. I'm not saying it's not dangerous, but what I am saying is that there is a control issue here that is very dangerous for the work and worship of the local church. And if they can control all of that, can you imagine if Rome could have controlled the New Testament churches? That's what they tried to do. Have we never read, and I realize I'm a little off here, but I'm thinking about this from the vantage point of our influence. Think about Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5. And they said, we do not want you to spread the name of Jesus in this town any longer. And in fact, it says, chapter 4, verse number 15, it says, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. Now notice that they're going to confer behind closed doors on how to shut down the influence of the church. Now, if you don't think that stuff is happening today, then I got some oceanfront property in Oklahoma that I want to sell you. But he says, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. The evidence was so plain and clear, but that it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. So what do? So when they had further threatened them, they didn't just give up. They're threatening their livelihoods. They're threatening their life. And they say, finding nothing and how they might punish them then because of the people. See, it's all about the people here. But I do want you to notice this. Turn to chapter 5. Now you have the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You have the entire Sanhedrin gathered together there. And I want you to notice in let's back up to verse number 22. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told them, saying, the prison truly found we shut up all safely, and all the keepers standing without before the doors, but when we had opened, we found no man therein. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted them wherein this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. When the captain with the officers brought them with violence, they didn't just bring them, they brought them with violence, for they feared the people, they asked them to come, for feared the people lest they should be stoned. So again, it's all about the influence of the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked, did we not straitly command you not to teach in this name? And behold, now notice, they commanded them not to teach or preach in the name of Jesus. What did they do? They did it anyway. See, teaching and preaching the gospel, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, is a staple. It is a load-bearing wall, right? And so ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter and the other apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, what did they do? They put them in prison. They threatened them. And now they are going to beat them. And it says that when they departed, verse number 41, from the presence of the council, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Unfortunately, you cannot build upon this foundation unless you have this same aspect, the willingness to bear the shame that goes along with Christianity. Was there not shame in dying on a cross? Any man, this is a Jewish thing, right? Written right in the scriptures, right? That it is a shameful thing for a man to hang upon a tree. And yet God used that very shameful thing to exalt Jesus Christ and Christianity. Preaching is not the most accepted venue of getting your message out to the world. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 argues that it is the baser things of the world that God has chosen, the lesser things. People say, well, that's not the best way to do it. I didn't ask if it's the best way to do it. I asked if it was God's way of doing it. And so, but now, listen, we've got these structural things cannot go. They must stay. And that's a part of this building project. So we must take heed to count the cost, right? That's one of the first elements of this discussion. So what is it going to cost us? Let's see if we can close with this. What does the Bible say it will cost if you want to take heed how to build? And I'm going to apologize here. Tomorrow we won't be here, but Wednesday, Lord willing, I'm going to spend a lot more time on the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In fact, that may be the entirety of the program, because I do believe that's an important context. But I want you to notice as we close here, just a couple of things. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 37, as well as Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 30, tell us very succinctly that Jesus must come before, our discipleship must come before our family, right? Luke 10 and verse number 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. So one of the things that we have to count is, am I willing to give up everything? And that includes family. That 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the unbelieving spouse that does not want to dwell with the child of God, he said, let them depart. In other words, if it comes down to serving Jesus as his disciple or staying with your spouse, and your spouse says, I'm going to leave if you... By the way, if you don't think that still happens today, I can give you the name of an individual I know of whose wife actually told him that. And she went out and committed fornication, adultery on him in order to prove that she was not going to stay with him. Now you think about that. What at that point, what decision do you make? Paul said, let them depart. So family is not, Jesus said, who is my mother and who is my brother? These are my disciples, right? This is my family. And by the way, Jesus says that he has to come before our own lives. This may be the hardest command of all. But Luke chapter 14 and verse number 26, If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to put your life secondary to the great principles of Christianity. What's it going to cost? Count the cost when you do that. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Sister Wendy makes reference to today. And so absolutely. By the way, does Matthew 6:33 establish a priority or not? Right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There are a lot of things that we could talk about at this juncture. The work of Christ must come first, Philippians 2 and verse number 12. The teaching of Christ must come first, Matthew 28:18 through 20, Mark 16:15 and 16. The attendance of worship, Hebrews 10 and verse number 25, must come. I have to count the cost. And I'm afraid that a lot of people have not really counted the cost of Christianity when it comes to, we've got so comfortable with America allowing us and the world just allowing us to exist, that because of that, we have not counted the cost properly. Well, my friends, I want to thank you for your comments. I want to thank you for our Bible study today. And as Sister Ferris has mentioned, I certainly want to wish every one of you to have a happy and blessed Thanksgiving. God bless. Y'all have a wonderful day today.